From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Lawmakers are setting aside until next year a bill that would kick off a pilot program for tribally run public schools. Representative Andy Story, a Juneau Democrat, is a co-chair of the House Education Committee. She says there isn't enough time to move the bill through the legislature this year, but she's supportive of what tribally compacted schools can accomplish.
Our education system was responsible for removing the language and culture, and so I think we have a responsibility to bring it back and have education opportunities through this tribal compacting. I think the details are just really important.
The bill would fund and open 5 tribally run schools through a state and tribal education compact, or STEC. Superintendents in affected areas testified in support of the bill at the most recent hearing for the bill. However, Nome Public School Superintendent Jamie Burgess says she wants to see case studies that show how opening a compacted school affects local school districts.
We are happy to support the development of a STEC school if that does move forward. However, I believe that there are still a great deal of questions for some schools. How it impacts each community is going to be unique.
Story says stakeholders and tribal representatives will spend the time in the interim to get more feedback on the bill. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska is one of the tribes that is involved in the program. Tribal representatives told KTOO earlier this month they plan to continue developing a new education campus if the bill doesn't pass this year. The session ends on May 21st and will reconvene next January. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska can now receive reimbursements for providing child welfare services directly from the federal government. The government finalized the agreement last month. That means the tribe's reimbursements no longer need to go through the state of Alaska. Tribal officials say the agreement gives them more flexibility in handling cases where child abuse and neglect may be happening. Mary Johnson is the Senior Director for Family Services at Tlingit and Haida. She said the tribe will continue working with the state on child welfare services, but the tribe can now look into ways to expand its services.
What do we need to get into place to license our own foster homes? What do we need to get into place if we do want to initiate a child welfare case within our own tribal court? And how do we go about putting that into action? Now we have the resources to make that happen with a lot of work.
Alaska's Office of Children's Services has agreements with tribes across the state to serve Alaska Native children placed in the system. Tribes assist in Indian Child Welfare Act cases. The law sets standards for children's services agencies to place Alaska Native and Native American children with family members or to keep them in their home communities if they're removed from their family. That means Tlingit and Haida works with the state to find a suitable place for children to live after they've been removed. In the past, federal reimbursements were distributed to tribes from the state. With the new agreement, Johnson says the tribe can now receive reimbursements directly from the federal government. Johnson says the tribe's family services generally have a better understanding of a referred family's cultural background.
If you are working with a caseworker at Tlingit and Haida, the chances of them being Alaska Native or even a tribal citizen are pretty high. So you're going to be connecting with someone that just tends to know your way of living a bit more than someone who doesn't. So that makes a huge difference when working with our families.
Data from OCS shows that more than 2/3 of children who've been removed from their home in the past year are Alaska Native. Tlingit and Haida worked on more than 230 cases in 15 states last year. Johnson says the tribe hopes to expand its abuse and neglect prevention services through the agreement as well. The tribe will now go into an implementation phase where officials will continue developing its child welfare and monitoring program to be approved for reimbursements. Johnson said in an email she anticipates the tribe will need 6 to 12 months to go through the approval process. And Alaska officials who help resettle immigrants say they're facing a lot of uncertainty amid the Trump administration's crackdown on legal and illegal immigration. Izzy Spatrasano is a refugee program coordinator for Catholic Social Services. During an appearance on Talk of Alaska Tuesday, she said a large group of immigrants in the state come from Ukraine and are classified as having humanitarian parole. However, she says a pause on certain federal programs has prevented those people from keeping their paperwork up to date.
I don't know how many Ukrainians I have spoken to that we serve who have bought land and are ready to buy houses, who were enrolled at UAA and questioning if they should go. I mean, people are at a loss of what to do.
Spatrasano says the Trump administration has rolled back a number of Biden-era refugee policies that have left people who entered the country legally now being told they need to leave the country. For asylum seekers, immigrants, and other non-citizens currently in the country, immigration attorneys have been working to clarify what rights people have. Nicholas Olano is an attorney with Nations Law Group. He says some of that outreach involves telling people that they have a right to an attorney and that there's a difference between the kinds of orders that law enforcement might issue them.
The judicial and administrative warrants that we're talking about permit you to do different things. The administrative warrant that ICE issues does not let you go into a house, for example, versus the judicial warrant that would allow the officers to go in the house and search for either people or certain specific things that they're looking for.
Cindy Woods, a senior immigration law and policy fellow for the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska, says her organization has been hosting Know Your Rights presentations to combat rumors and misinformation around deportations. And she encourages non-citizens to reach out if they're concerned about their immigration status. And Alaska would be in the same time zone as Seattle for 4 months of the year if a bill passed Monday by the Alaska Senate becomes law, the Alaska Beacon reports. The Senate voted 18-2 to pass Senate Bill 26, which would eliminate daylight savings time in Alaska and ask the federal government to put Alaska on Pacific Standard Time. Senator Kelly Merrick, an Eagle River Republican, is the bill's sponsor. The bill would permanently exempt Alaska from daylight savings time and keep the state on standard time year-round. If fully implemented, the bill would leave Alaska in the same time zone as Seattle from November through early March. The rest of the year, it would be 1 hour behind the city, as Washington State observes daylight savings time. But if Congress passes a bill allowing permanent daylight savings time, Alaska would return to being 1 hour behind Seattle permanently. Merrick said her bill is supported by the state's Tourism Trade Association, as well as financial institutions. Daylight savings time has been a regular topic of conversation in the Alaska legislature. A daylight savings time bill has been introduced in either the House or Senate every year since 2019. In April, President Donald Trump urged Congress to pass a bill making daylight savings time permanent, thus eliminating the annual clock change. And the federal government each year provides tens of thousands of dollars in grants to tribal libraries across Alaska. The money pays staff, buys books, and fuels programming related to traditional knowledge. But as Avery Elfelt reports for the Alaska Desk, the Trump administration has started canceling those grants in communities across the state. For some, the dollars are a small chunk of the budget. For others, including in Klukwan near Haines, the cancellations are debilitating.
Library, this is Jamie.
Jamie Katzik co-directs the Klukwan Library, which is 100% grant-funded by the state and feds. 35 hours a week there, community members study, check out books, and take workshops on everything from paddle making and beading to Chilkat weaving. Or at least they used to. The Trump administration recently notified the library it was canceling two grants that account for the vast majority of its budget. Katzik says that left no choice but to cancel all future events and slash her hours to 4 per week.
The letter said that our grant is unfortunately no longer consistent with the agency's priorities and no longer serves the interest of the United States.
The money comes from an agency known as the Institute of Museum and Library Services. It provides funding to communities across the country, including libraries in Native villages. In Alaska alone, the agency awarded library-related grants to dozens of tribes in the last 2 years. The Chilkat Indian Village in Klukwan was among them. In 2023, the tribe was awarded a $150,000 grant for traditional knowledge-related projects. And then, last year, another one for $10,000. But in March, President Donald Trump signed an executive order aimed at eliminating the agency entirely. By early April, the large grant was canceled. 3 weeks later, the smaller one was gone, too.
So the kids haven't been able to come in the library, and the teachers say that they've been really sad about that.
Teresa Quiner, the president of the Alaska Library Association, has been reaching out to libraries to track what's happening on the ground. Many haven't responded, so it's not yet clear how widespread the cancellations are. But based on what she has heard, she says the outlook is grim.
My perception is that most people who are Native American Library Services grant recipients, I have a feeling that most libraries have gotten a cancellation notice at this point.
Quiner herself received the cancellation notice in her capacity as director of the Kuskokwim Consortium Library. The library partners with the Arutzaramiut Traditional Native Council in Bethel to get the same $10,000 grant as Klukwan. It's a smaller sum than the agency's enhancement grants, which often exceed $100,000. But they still matter, Quiner says, particularly in places where $10,000 can be the difference between having some library services and having none at all.
I did hear from the Pedro Bay Village Council that they've had to lay off a library worker because of this grant cancellation. And so, it's a small amount of money, but it has a pretty big impact in a small community.
Other libraries aren't as reliant on federal dollars. The Tuzzi Consortium Library in Utqiagvik lost funding, too.
I did lose my funding, but it's only 7% of my budget.
That's Teresa Williams. She's a director at the Tuzzi Consortium Library, which is part of Illisagavik College, Alaska's only tribal college. The library supports the school's students and staff. It also provides public library services to 7 communities across the North Slope borough. It's received the $10,000 grant for each community for years. Williams says the IMLS funding is crucial in Alaska, which has a low literacy rate, and where libraries play a major role in getting early literacy resources to rural areas. But that's far from their only job.
There's people in communities that don't have internet at home. They don't even have a computer at home. When they need services to apply for the PFD, to file their taxes, where are they going to go, if not the library?
Further complicating the picture is a federal judge's decision last week to halt the executive order amid ongoing litigation. Even so, neither the Clocuan Library nor the Tuzzi Library have received any indication that their grants may be reinstated. In Clocuan, Katzik says her options are limited for the foreseeable future.
For now, it's just me just doing the 4 hours a week as I can and till through the end of June.
What happens after then remains uncertain. One possible outcome, she says, would be temporary closure. In Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 44 degrees and cloudy this afternoon. Tonight, we're expecting rain, 100% chance. Tomorrow and Friday look rainy as well, with temperatures between the mid-40s and the low 50s. This is KTOO.